AM 245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Senate passing a standalone funding bill this morning. ABC's Karen Travers has details.
After months of negotiations, the Senate has finally passed a bill that would send funding to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. It now heads to the House, where it faces a very uncertain future. Speaker Mike Johnson has said he won't bring this up for consideration because it doesn't include major changes to border policy. The Senate actually reached a bipartisan deal that addressed the border, but under intense pressure from Donald Trump, congressional Republicans said they would not support it, and so the Senate removed that part from the bill that passed today. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
South Africa has lodged an urgent request with the International Court of Justice to consider whether Israel's military operations targeting Rafah in the Gaza Strip constitute a breach of the provisional orders the court handed down in the genocide case last month. A big snowstorm hitting the Northeast, New York City getting the most snow it's seen in more than 2 years, then it moves up into New England. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin lawmakers are scrambling to pass several bills before wrapping up work for the session. The Assembly and Senate are both holding floor sessions today with long agendas. Lawmakers are voting on a $2 billion Republican tax cut similar to two proposals Governor Evers vetoed last year. Local election officials in Wisconsin are preparing for safe and secure voting this year, but some say the state could do more to meet the growing demand for absentee and early voting.
The funding that we receive from the state and from the federal government hasn't increased to accommodate any of that.
Meredith Witzel-Bale is the city clerk in Madison. Advocates say it would take $53 billion to modernize the election system across the country. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Due to a lack of snowfall and warm weather in the area, the Slumberland American Birkbeiner Ski Race has been forced to make changes to the course. According to the organizers of the race, the course will be reduced to a 10-kilometer loop that racers will have to make 5 trips around. Racers will also not be allowed to warm up or test their wax before the events due to the lack of snow. Organizers also noted that they are still looking for volunteers to help with the race, and anybody interested can sign up on their website. Another local Duluth business is planning to shut its doors for good at the end of the month. According to a Facebook post from the owner, the Ripple Bar, located in the Canal Park area, has announced that it will be closing at the end of February after 6 years in operation. The Facebook post did not specify the reasons that led to the closure, and it announced that a new business would be opening up in the space. The post did not share what the business taking over the space would be, nor when it could open. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Now I guess I'm just rooting for Kansas City because it's more about Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift for me.
It is at this point. And I want to congratulate Taylor Swift for making the Super Bowl in her rookie season. There's not a lot of rookies in the NFL who make it all the way to the big game, but she did. And you know if they win, she's getting a ring.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Marquette looks to make it 8 in a row. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles, are on the road against Butler. The team learned now that they're moved up in the rankings to 5th in the nation. The Badgers, now ranked 20th, hope to snap a 4-game losing streak when they host the Ohio State Buckeyes. NBA, the Bucks got another win, this time over the Denver Nuggets, 112-95, Giannis with 35 points. NFL, Super Bowl 58, the most watched event on television ever, 123.4 million viewers as the Chiefs beat the 49ers in overtime. I talked to former Badgers and Wisconsin native linebacker Leo Chanel, who forced a Christian McCaffrey fumble in the opening drive and blocked a PAT. Leo talked about Travis Kelce's speech to the team the night before the game.
You know, to see how emotional Travis was, like, you could see in his eyes, like, he wants it, man. Like, you can't say it anymore how much you want it with what he was giving us and how much emotion he was showing. It was awesome.
That's Chiefs linebacker Leo Chanel with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Thank you. It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high right around 32 this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, down to 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 40 with a little light rain and snow possible Wednesday night. Accumulation will be light Thursday, sunshine cooler, high of 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Jim from Racine, welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Jim.
I voted for Reagan back in the day. I guess I've been supporting more of the Democratic Party for the last 40 years or so, but people don't say, oh, man, she's a Republican, she's a Democrat, she's whatever. I'm a human being. All these other things aren't important. We need to unite against a bigger threat. I think the threat is us becoming a dictatorship. They want us to fail.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tuesday on Matt Nair on Air, the incomparable Luke Mathers joins us at 10:30 to kick around all things political in Wisconsin. Make sure you join us.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
This is a big party, man.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. It's not so bad for the middle of February, is it?
Yeah, no, yesterday was beautiful. Today, I think, might be a little cloudier, but still going to be pretty warm, I think.
Yeah, but if we're in the middle of February and just talking about it being cloudy, I think we're doing pretty good. That other guy over there, I think I know you.
Every day you get behind you in February is a step towards spring, right?
So. Well, here's always been kind of the measuring stick for me, Sandy. When the baseball players report to spring training right around now. Mm-hmm. And by February 24th, they begin their first, you know,
Cactus League
games. That's always a measuring stick for me. Hey, it's just about over.
Well, maybe.
I know. I mean, it's a sign, man. It always.
I'm just afraid that this winter is going to start averaging out again, you know. Yeah, we've been above average most of the day, so, you know, maybe there's something looming ahead of us.
Well, you know, I always say Mother Nature never forgets.
Yeah, you don't fool with Mother Nature.
No, you know, Sandy, I remember, I don't remember the exact year, but the Brewers were still playing in County Stadium. You remember County Stadium, right?
Absolutely.
And it was April 15th. Not only, you know, tax day, but it was opening day for the Brewers.
Was it snowing?
They got 14 inches of snow.
Whoa.
And on April 14th.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's how I remember County Stadium. When I was a little kid, my dad took us there for the first Braves game. And we parked the car out there in the parking lot. We went into the game confidently. I was, I don't know, six, something like that. So eight. And we come out. And my dad had forgotten to remember where the car was. And so it was one of those things where we actually waited for lots of cars to leave before we could figure out where to look for the car. It was a new experience. County Stadium was the first big thing like that in Milwaukee with a huge parking lot. It was sort of, okay, leave the car here, go into the game.
Well, you know, I never will forget my times at County Stadium and the Brewers. Oh, the Braves. And the Braves. And just to go out and have an opportunity, it was affordable. You could go out to the bleachers.
Yeah, the bleachers were probably a buck a ticket or something.
A buck a ticket. And so everybody could afford, basically, to go see the Braves play. Right?
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, and I think they brought part of that over to American Family Field, Miller Park initially, but American Family Field. They've got a little section where it's a standing room. And I don't know, when they first opened it up, it was a buck. But I don't know, probably now it's, that standing room is probably 10 bucks. But still, it's more than affordable.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, the Braves were something. I gave up on baseball when the Braves left. It was like, okay, my honeymoon's over.
Really? And so even when the Brewers came back, never?
Yeah. No, the only thing, I'm a fair-weather baseball fan now. When the Brewers were in the World Series, I went to some games. But, yeah, it was so disheartening. I knew, you know, the Braves were, you know, people our age listened to baseball on the radio all the time. You know, you'd be out playing catch, listening to the Braves on the radio or raking leaves or whatever, you know. It was a constant. And everybody knew all the players and their batting averages. I still can tell you all about the Braves. I can't tell you much of anything about the Brewers.
You know, Sandy, you just brought back, you know, our generation and that radio.
Yeah, I mean, sports,
we always had a radio, man.
Sports was a radio occupation. You know, the Packers weren't on TV until sometime in the 60s. And, you know, you just listened to everything on the radio.
So you remember a guy named Ray Scott?
Oh, yeah, sure.
So
Earl Gillespie.
Earl Gillespie. But Ray Scott was the guy. That voice during the time of the Packers, you know, dynasty. And just to hear Ray Scott, I never will forget it. Every Sunday morning, man, during the fall, Ray Scott, little radio.
Yep.
You know, and out in the backyard with my brothers, you know, playing football. You know, the radio really, Sandy, you contrast it with today.
Well, then, you know, the radio didn't mean that you had to give up any sort of socialization. You could listen to the radio while you were doing something. You can't watch TV and play baseball. Yeah. It just doesn't work.
You know, we just look at the evolution, and it's amazing, to be honest with you, that radio is still around.
Yeah, but, radio was exciting because you had to picture it in your brain. I remember when Floyd Patterson Ingemar Johansson, the fight on the radio. So you'd listen to the fight on the radio. The guy would make it really exciting. You could picture what was going on, you know, the hammer of Thor, Ingemar Johansson.
You know, Sandy, and what I'm saying is radio has survived. And everything else, for the most part, from those times and simplistic aspects of life.
Yeah.
The fact that radio is still there is an amazing thing. Let's go to the phone lines and Ron from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Ron. How you doing? You have a question to come at. You know something about radio.
I love radio. I used to listen to all the Packer and Badger games on the radio when I was a kid, while I was helping my dad put up the storm windows and stuff for
yeah.
ball. But then I only you know, I love watching the games on TV now, but I can only take in baseball live or on the radio. I can't. Baseball on TV to me is just nothing. You know, it's a distraction. But I had a story about Ray Scott, and it's a paradox, because these days when you have TV and you can see everything, and they got replays and crawlers and everything else on the screen. They go on, they talk rapid fire, and there are two of them, and they're explaining the play in explicit detail that you just saw. But I remember Ray Scott was a man of few words, and even on the radio, I mean, he was the TV broadcaster,
right?
I remember one particular play. It might have been the Super Bowl, and you know, he sets up the play. It's third and so, and star comes up to the line, and then the next things you hear are star, Dowler.
Oh, yeah.
Touchdown. I remember that call. Yeah.
It just stuck with me because it was so dramatic. He lets you see it, and he's just naming the players. That's all he's doing, because you might not you'd know Star, but but that's just the sign that the play is about to happen.
You know, in fact,
and he's got the ball. Yeah. You know.
It's so poignant that you mentioned that, because one of the things I was going to mention, now, Tony Romo, I really thought he was fantastic early in his career on the radio and TV. I mean, on the TV coverage, he was so annoying during the during the Super Bowl, talking. Oh my God! And you know, he just didn't let you watch the game and have your own impression.
Well, the fact that they've made Tony Romo, I couldn't believe it. I was talking to somebody before the game. And I said, I know Tony Romo is not going to be the guy who's going to be calling the Super Bowl. You think about it. With the guys that they used to have, and now it's Tony Romo, it's come really.
He has a $150 or so million contract for I don't know how many years. He's making more money doing this than he did playing football.
Tom Brady signed a $375 million contract to now announce football. But Ron, you know, the radio, and that's kind of what, you know, those days, maybe when we were so young, maybe it reminds us of our youth, but they made it exciting. I mean, Bob Uecker, you know, and Swing and a Drive.
Yeah.
Way back. You know, and so it seems so simplistic.
You sounded a little like Harry Carey.
I sounded like Harry Carey. Hey,
it was scary.
Lou Boudreaux.
Yeah.
And for WGN and the Chicago Cubs.
So Ryan, what did you think of the Tony Romo show?
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention, but I get what you're saying, and I think what it is he's there to provide analysis and color.
Yeah.
And I think I think, you know, with the money they're paying him, I think there's some pressure on the network and him for him to talk a lot because he's a celebrity, you know. The announcer is just another guy, you know. I mean, that's another thing. When the NFL was starting out on TV in the 60s, who was their big play call guy for most games? You know, the National League telecast guy, Brent Musburger. And Brent Musburger was kind of annoying in some way, but he was very good. I mean, he knew how to, he wasn't as good as Ray Scott, but he just had a way of getting you through the game without now it's all about distraction. I mean, half the time, Bob Uecker is the only sports announcer in any sport who can, and baseball gives you this luxury because there are long intervals between plays, but he's the only announcer in sports that can start telling you sports anecdotes about himself and others and, you know, and tell jokes at length and get away with it because he's so good at it.
Well,
in fact, he can even tell the joke and then drop the joke in mid flight and say, swing and a miss. It's and go right back to the joke.
Well, you know, he's 90 years old and he still has it.
Is he 90?
Yeah, I think he turned 90 and wow. He's still doing it. Hey Ron, thank you very much for the call. All of you guys hang on the line, 844-967-2789. Really interested in what you have to say. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. Hang on.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wild.
Wisconsin voters, listen up for important information about a recent decision from the Wisconsin Supreme Court. The court has ruled that Wisconsin's current state legislative maps are unconstitutional. While Wisconsin is closely divided between Democrats, Republicans, and Independents, these Republican-drawn maps have allowed them to keep big majorities in the state legislature, even when more people voted for the other party. Republicans have used these rigged maps to stay in power and serve their special interest friends while being unaccountable to Wisconsin voters, undermining progress on important issues that Wisconsin really cares about, like rising costs, gun violence, and abortion access. Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court has ordered that new maps be drawn to protect our freedoms and make sure our voices are heard. Visit abetterwisconsin.org/fairmaps to tell the Wisconsin Supreme Court thank you for standing up for fair maps. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Skin.
Run, 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 but you sure can't
hide. And I, boy, and I, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on.
Well, the only person talking about love now, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher.
Hey, Al, you asked for this, so we played it for you. Don't ever say we didn't do anything for you. So Al requested this, Calvin. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays. With my co-host, Sandy Williams, we got a lot we're going to talk about today, as always. Let's go to the phone lines and Gary from Sussex. We were talking about radio.
Hi, guys.
All right.
I got laryngitis, so if I don't sound the same, I am still the same Gary from Sussex.
Kermit the Frog.
Yeah. Okay. I got a question. Is Tony Romo, is he a Democrat or Republican?
Who knows, man? Why does it matter?
Wow, that would be caring about something I can't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand, man. Help us understand how that's relevant to the conversation.
It's a joke. I was making fun.
Okay, well,
because I was gonna say if he was a Republican, I'd say I like him. And if he was a Democrat, you'd say that is it stunk, you know. But I was just joking around.
I'm glad you clarified that it was a joke.
Yeah, it was just a joke.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys know me. God darn it, you know. all right. I liked it, Sandy. I think that his analysis is right on. It's like hearing the brain of how the quarterback's what he's gonna do next. He used to always say, hey, if it was me, I would do this. I would do this. I hope he does this. I hope he does that.
No, that's
and
what.
He was right on.
No, I agree with him. And that's what I loved about him when he was first on. I just thought, and I think the prior caller had it right, that he's feeling a lot of pressure to be more involved than he was when he was a little bit more withdrawn. The guy is a genius in terms of being able to help us understand what a quarterback is seeing and what's going on. He's very good at that.
And then as far as radio, like you guys are talking about, you know, Earl said, I'm surprised that radio's still there. Now, my car, we have a Lexus, and it has a Bluetooth built into it. So I noticed that when we're in a car, I very seldom ever listen to AM radio or FM radio. I just listen to the music I want to listen off my phone and my Bluetooth. But when I'm in my truck here, I have it set at 540 all the time. I don't listen to any other stations except for your station. I love your station. I love listening to you, Sandy. I love listening to Earl and all the rest of the guys. I learn a lot and I really enjoy it. But at night, I listen to conservative radio in the middle of the night, you know, so I kind of get my balance that
those
way.
Those are called nightmares. That's a joke. That's a joke, Gary.
Okay. But, you know, you guys got a great show, and I love how you guys mix it up. You know, politics sometimes, you know, maybe we just need to talk about something other than politics. So I like your subject today, and I like listening to you guys. You guys are a great team.
Hey, Gary, thank you very much for the call, man. Really, truly appreciate it. Let's go to Steven from Green Bay. Steven is pretty young. He can't remember a lot of that old radio stuff, but, man, you're listening to radio. You're a young guy, man. Why?
So radio was always a thing, and you know, ever since I was a little kid, you know, some of my first memories was in my grandma's car listening to the radio. Actually, when I was in middle school, there was a class that I took that one of the things was we had to pick a field that we were interested in going into, and we actually had to shadow someone in that field. And at that point, I was interested in being a radio DJ, so I actually went to an actual radio station, and I shadowed a radio DJ for the day.
Really?
And
apparently you changed your mind.
Yes, I did, because I realized they didn't make anything when it comes to money.
Yeah. Don't expose us like that, but go ahead.
But I'll always remember that. I'll always remember, you know, sitting in that radio station. It was Bucky Country 95.9. It was a country music station. And I'll never forget that experience. And ever since then, when it comes to Packers and Brewers, even if I'm at home, a lot of times I won't watch the games on the TV. I'll turn on the radio and I'll listen to it on the radio because, in my opinion, the radio broadcast is so much better than what you can get on the TV these days. Bob Uecker, gosh, listening to the Brewers game with Bob Uecker is just, it's a treat every time he comes on the radio. So, yeah, I mean, radio, especially in the state of Wisconsin, is, I mean, it's a treasure, and it's something that we definitely take for granted sometimes, I think.
Hey, Steven, very well said, as always, my friend. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, you know, not just because we're doing radio, but, you know, the world has changed. And,
well, you know, the radio is to sports games, for instance, as books are to movies. So when you're on the listening to the radio, your imagination is involved and you have to picture it, and you have a whole different experience than if you're there and it's all being presented to you. When you read a book, same thing happens. And when you go to a movie, the movie's filling in all the
right,
all the blanks for you. And so I think in many respects, radio is a fantastic thing, and it allows you to be otherwise occupied and to accomplish things. And, you know, I think there's going to be a resurgence of radio, actually. I think that some of it is going to be the fact that the television has become such, you know, like as he was describing, the you know, with things running across the bottom of the bottom of the TV screen and across the side and three things going on at once. I mean, at some point, people are going to start having seizures because of all that's going on.
You know, Sandy, there was something that you and I were going to be discussing. What is that?
Well, you know, it kind of relates to Gary's question. The notion of how do we get across the echo chamber so that we stop worrying about whether the other person's a Republican or a Democrat.
So that is what we'll be talking about. 844-967-2789. You know, it's always great to have you guys chiming in and locked in early in the morning. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. Tuesdays with my co-host Sandy Williams. 844-967-2789 is the number.
Radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Marshfield Clinic is expanding its labor and delivery facilities in Eau Claire. Marshfield says its obstetrics unit is going from 8 beds to 20. The expansion would mean jobs for some of the more than 1,400 people who are losing their jobs as two hospitals and several clinics in western Wisconsin are set to close. Governor Evers says conditions are getting better in Wisconsin prisons. Evers partially lifted lockdowns in November that had been in place in spring. Evers recently visited the state prison in Green Bay.
Is everything perfect there? Absolutely not. Are people doing the best they can under the circumstances? Absolutely, yes.
Evers tells WISN-TV's Upfront that more people are training to be prison guards since the state raised their pay last summer. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. One Roof Community Housing has announced it is constructing two new affordable housing buildings in Duluth. According to a Fox 21 report, the building will be able to hold 12 individuals for each apartment. Funding for the project came from the City of Duluth and St. Louis County, and One Roof has also partnered with the Salvation Army to staff the buildings after they're completed. Officials expect that the project could be completed sometime this spring, and people will be able to move into the building shortly after. Vanilla Bean Duluth has announced it will be closing one of its locations this month. According to a Fox 21 report, the owners of Vanilla Bean, Jason Vincent and Jeff Anderson, announced the Mount Royal location will close after 6 years in business. The location is reportedly being sold to a pair of entrepreneurs looking for restaurant space, but what exactly the new business will be is not yet known. The Mount Royal location's last day of business will be on February 25th, and it will not affect the Vanilla Bean in Two Harbors. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. The Super Bowl halftime show featuring Usher has been met with mixed reviews, some calling it amazing and some lackluster. History will decide. Some heavy musical hitters joined Usher on stage like Alicia Keys and Ludacris. In a related story, there was a notable absence from said show. In news from the world of people who need more in their lives, Justin Bieber fans are irate that he was not part of the star-studded halftime show cast Saturday night. Entertainment gossip network TMZ leaked rumors that it might happen, but obviously didn't. That's the problem when you listen to a gossip site and don't understand the function of the word maybe. The Beliebers took to whatever Twitter is called now to voice their displeasure, and to give credit where credit is due, many even used proper grammar. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, every night between 7 and 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high right around 32 this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly cloudy, down to 20. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, high of 40 with a little light rain and snow possible Wednesday night. Accumulation will be light Thursday, sunshine cooler, high of 29. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Todd Alma Show.
I'm Trigvi Olsen. Steven from Green Bay, go ahead.
The city of Green Bay is one of the best places in Wisconsin to live. Plenty of people that are Wisconsin nice.
Totally agree. Green Bay is kind of swing territory between the two parties, but people in Green Bay work together. I mean, people aren't asking themselves, am I wearing a red hat or a blue hat? They're wearing green and gold hats.
The Todd Alma Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Rice Lake's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, before, you know, we go over to you, let's go to the phone lines. And Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Your thoughts?
Good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. It's not the corporations who run it. It's we the people. And we need to wake up to that. No, it's really interesting when you look at TV, radio. I mean, it's pretty amazing. We as a culture are so segmented in terms of what we watch that now we don't have that shared experience like we used to. As an example, the Super Bowl, you know, got the best ratings ever. But the thing is, that's the first thing we probably all had in common that we watched, where it used to be, you know, ABC, NBC, CBS. And, you know, people would watch, I don't know, the finale of MASH, and they would all have that kind of in common. Or they would watch, you know, Who Shot JR? I mean, it didn't matter what it was, but it was something that we all kind of had in common that we could actually talk about. Now everyone kind of is segmented, and we don't have those events anymore. So the Super Bowl was one of those things that, you know, that did have the event. And I will say this about radio. I'm a person that listens to on the app, not on the radio, because otherwise I wouldn't get you guys, and I'm out here in California. So, I mean, it's, you know, the app is pretty amazing that you can actually listen to radio without having to be right there, which I think is pretty amazing as well. But yeah, I just think there's something about having that shared experience that doesn't put us into our niche or into our cliques, you know, that's missing in the country now. And yeah, I just wanted to get your opinion.
Well, Tom, we're getting ready to kind of have a dialogue or a conversation. You talked about cliques. And so Sandy is going to lead us in a conversation that kind of addresses those kind of things. Thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, you know, we had Ron Johnson, Senator Ron Johnson on Friday. One of the things he said is how much he hated how strident and partisan Washington had become. I guess I would point my finger a little bit there, but the fact is that it is the case. We have become very strident. And what Tom just talked about is sort of the echo, how we've all become part of echo chambers. We tend to listen and watch all, you know, out of the thousands and thousands of things we can choose from over the computer and that are streamed to us. We can watch whatever it is that we want to that makes us comfortable. And we've tended to all watch things that are increasingly aimed at validating what we think rather than exposing us to other thoughts. And there's a fellow that started on NPR. Now he basically does podcasts. His name is Shankar Vedantam. I don't know how many of you listen to him. He's got a thing that's called Hidden Brain, and I would recommend it to all the listeners. It's a really interesting podcast. And February 5th, he had a podcast that was about breaking out of the echo chamber. And it was basically about empathy, about the fact that in order to persuade someone of something, particularly something that they feel very strongly about, you really have to understand why they have those feelings and what those feelings are, in order to put yourself into their shoes and to get into an environment in which you aren't attacking their values, but you're talking to them in the same context, in the context of their values. And, you know, one of the things that he mentions in the segment is a quote from St. Francis of Assisi, who said, "It's more important to understand others than to be understood by others." In other words, it's more important to listen than it is to talk. That you're absorbing information about other people that permits you to then understand them and to discuss with them and potentially persuade them of a point of view, or at least to open their minds to the point of view. And one of the other things he talks about is moral humility and moral empathy, which basically means that in today's world, we've turned so many issues into something that feels like religion. Sometimes it is religion, that that we have trouble legitimizing the people who are think something different than that. You know, if it's not your religion, is it the Antichrist? You know, is it something that you can't even talk about? And so the main exercise that he talks about there is putting yourself in the other's shoes. And one of the PhD guys he had on talked about how an assignment that he gives to someone is to write down about a particular issue, everything that is their position on the issue and why, and then to do that for the other side and to put themselves into the other person's shoes and to think about exactly why it is that the other person thinks the way they do and to understand the context in which they think and what the values might be driving it. And it's amazing, but, you know, it was like a epiphany to me listening to this, because it's clear that the more we could do this, the more likely it is that we could actually talk to one another and understand one another. And, you know, many of our callers are very strident about what they're calling about and tend to have categorized the opponents into a particular category that is abhorrent to them. And if the other side is abhorrent, it becomes even more difficult to put yourself in their shoes or legitimize what it is they're thinking about.
You know, Sandy, that dialogue that you just referenced requires a lot of introspection of yourself. And I don't know, it's a lot easier to listen to what somebody else is saying on the air or, you know, on television and say, yeah, ditto, than it is to require what it is they are asking that you look inside of yourself.
Well, yeah, it's much easier to be validated than it is to be challenged and to challenge yourself. But, you know, there's no growth in validation. There is growth in challenge. And, you know, you grow when you understand someone's what they're thinking and you reject it. I mean, it's okay to reject, but I think at least it's important that we try to reach out and understand why it is that people think the way they think, so that the people who are upset about and would label someone a liberal and would find that to put them into a category of abhorrence need to reflect on what it is that would cause someone to think and talk about and discuss things and to feel the way they do as liberals. And the same is true on the flip side. Conservatives, ultra-conservatives, whatever label we want to give them, we have to put ourselves in the other person's shoes. And we have to do that in an immersive kind of a way. We can't just kind of deflect.
You know, Sandy, we live in a society that has never had to do that. And so you look at all of the divisions that human beings have, not just in America, right? But everywhere, the fact that we can't get along one with the other, and we have wars all over the place because it's to put oneself in somebody else's shoes requires, now, some may say, a modicum of morality. But then there are others who will say, well, I don't know. I think it's morality might be part of the problem.
You're being too soft. Well, but, you know, you look at projection across races, you know, I mean, I don't know, Earl, what it was like to be you growing up. You know, I don't know the stresses and strains you experienced as the result of the differences between
strictly
us.
Strictly because of the color of the skin.
Strictly because of the color of our skin and also where we lived, how we lived, everything about, you know, so we need to try and understand these things in order to relate to one another in a way that can be constructive.
You know, Sandy, it should be done. Let me first say, it absolutely needs to be done. But that also needs to be done. We can't even get that done with supposedly our Congress people and the people who are representing us. If that should happen anywhere, it needs to happen there clearly, because those people you would think clearly would be able to understand the impact of that.
Well, sure. I mean, for instance, Senator Johnson talks about the radical left. Who are the radical left? Well, what is the radical left? What are those people thinking? Is it really possible to lump a whole bunch of people into a category? And the same is probably true with respect to hard right. You know, people are different. People have a set of thoughts. And if you can understand what those thoughts are, you better try and understand why they have those thoughts in order to have a conversation that's in an effort to reach at least an understanding of one another and possibly to move people one direction or the other in their own thoughts.
So division is easy to maintain. Right?
Yes.
I mean, it really is.
Yes.
You know, I've got my issues with so-and-so, and it's easier for me just not to address my divisions with them. It's fine with me. I don't ever have to see that person. I don't ever have to talk or communicate with that person. And so it requires an awful lot, Sandy, for us to...
Well,
put
you know,
ourselves in somebody. It makes sense that we do it, but it just seems to be something that seems to be incomparable.
I listened to another podcast that sort of piggybacked on this one, in my own mind at least, which was about Christian nationalism and the trend we have in the United States towards more and more people talking about the United States being a Christian nation, having with Christian values. And so that begged in my mind, well, what is the difference from these people's standpoint between Christian values and Jewish values, or Christian values and Muslim values, or Christian values and Hindu values, or Buddhist values, because all of those things are very value-driven, okay? And probably the values are not very different. And so when we set up a category like that, it worries me, a Christian-driven nation. Maybe what we mean is a value-driven nation, okay? And we shouldn't necessarily put a tag on it that's quite so restrictive.
Well, you know, Sandy, it's, you know, the fact that you are saying that one of the things that we're going to be talking about later on is the separation of state and church and state. And it used to matter. And our forefathers saw that as an issue. That people would somehow divide based on somebody else's beliefs, right?
Yeah.
Religion is religion. They're different forms of religion. And as you stated, at the root of all of them is the worship of something or somebody. So when we say that one religion somehow, Sandy, is preferable, and is the best religion, it just opens the door. Yeah, and there have been enough wars and other things based on those things.
Well, an awful lot of the pilgrims, in fact, the word pilgrim was basically driven by the notion that it was people leaving Europe for the reason that they wanted to leave.
Get away from religion.
Religious states.
Right.
Who were imposing religion on them. They were pilgrims coming here to forge their own future using their own value system and their own religions. And so it's worrisome a little bit that we're falling back in the direction of trying to connect the two at the governmental level. But I have no problem whatsoever with the notion that we should and always should be a value-driven nation.
All right. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with my co-host, Sandy Williams.
Listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Race to savings on your next project right now at Menards. Brighten your space with Sylvania TrueWave LED bulbs. TrueWave closely mimics natural sunlight and features superior dimming control, helping you see better and feel better. Right now, receive a $10 mail-in rebate when you spend $40 on TrueWave LED light bulbs at Menards. Prices good through February 18th. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
The Todd Almost Show.
You look at Taylor Swift. She fought off the bitterness of defeat when she lost her records, when she was kind of duped by a manager. People who told her she'd never amount to anything. But it doesn't matter if you like her music or not. I'm a fan of anyone. Doesn't matter whether they're an artist or an athlete or just a common Jane or Joe. If you've overcome something in your life, you're a winner. If you've made it through, that's what it's all about.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, you know, you briefly let people know what the conversation is.
Well, we were talking
before about, we go to the phone.
We were talking about basically the empathy is the broad subject. It was related to a podcast, Shankar Vedantam podcast I listened to that talked about the need for moral humility and the need to basically listen to others more than we try to persuade others. We should listen to others and help us understand them, and that would build a bridge that would allow us to possibly move one another in directions of more cohesion.
That having been said, let's go to Jack from Racine. Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm reminded of Covey's principles, one of which is being try first to understand, and I think that's a good one, a good philosophy. But you were talking about a theocracy, an attempt to establish a theocracy in the United States by a strong segment of the MAGA movement that's going on right now, including Mr. Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who believes in moving toward a, what you said, a Christian nation. And that's a dangerous thing. It's a dangerous thing for our country. We would lose a lot of our rights, and of course, some people more than others in terms of religion. But I think it's, somebody just pointed out to me, my main contribution here, I wanted to say, let's remember they want a white Christian nation, and not just a Christian nation. And of course, the contradiction in terms there is evident. But enjoying the discussion. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. You know, you talked about a white Christian nation. No such thing as, you know, white Christian. Not with the definition of what Christianity is. You know, Christ never denoted any.
Christ might not have passed the white test.
No. So when you hear that, you just, you know, you shiver because it shows people just don't know.
Well, my problem with having something that would denominate itself a Christian nation is that Christianity is nuanced. What is it that constitutes a Christian? I come from, on my father's side, a Mormon heritage and have not continued it, but Mormons, there's a debate about whether Mormons are Christians. And there are other religions similarly. So if we're going to have a Christian nation, which one are we going to come up with a list of included ones and not excluded ones? And which values and which Christian religion are we going to follow?
Sandy, go ahead.
Well, it's what in law school we always talked about, the slippery slope. Once you start something like this, it's a slippery slope into something that's even more restrictive.
All right, let's go to David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All right, go ahead.
Can you hear me? Okay, good. I was going to say, this is what I will say. I view it a little bit differently. George Washington was one who actually started this
Started
the fact that when he took the oath of office, What did he do? And we've done it with every president.
He swore on a Bible.
They rest their hand on the Holy Bible. Even when you go to the U.S. Supreme Court, and I've been there, there is actually a Mosaic code displayed on the wall in the main chamber that, you know, it's referencing with God and everything else. It's everywhere. And I think
doesn't make it right, David. Doesn't make it right.
But that has been in the beginning, the founding, even with the Constitution. It's in there. I mean, I don't understand why.
There is this, though, David, that you have to go back and put yourself not only in the shoes of the time, but in the times of the time. And what are the colonial times like, and what was it composed of? And it was basically composed of white Christian Europeans. And so, yes, that's the way they discussed things. That's the way they reflected things. Also, in the language of the time, when you read the literature of the time, there is much more clear reference to an adoption of the basically implicit inclusion of the Bible, and particularly the Old and New Testament of the Bible, into societal views. But the Constitution of the United States and the amendments of the United States were all premised on religious freedom, okay, broad religious freedom. And so, you know, I think if we try to style ourselves exactly like a particular vintage of time, it doesn't really reflect the reality of the world.
Well,
right? I mean, in today's world, doesn't America and its society and its demographics, is it not extremely different from the demographics at the time of the signings? And at the time of the signings, of course, we had slaves who were only partially human as far as things were concerned.
Well, I have to say to you guys that, you know, when you talk about, you know, the founding fathers and what an American is, There's a contradiction completely, since America is a melting pot of people from different countries with different beliefs, and all are equal. When you say, well, you know, the founding fathers and the Bible and those kind of things, that certainly separates people, and that's not what the nation is supposed to be about.
What? Well, incidentally, with respect to swearing on the Bible, that's discretionary. You can swear in any fashion you want, whether it be on a Bible.
Yeah, somebody did on the Holy Quran. I forgot who it was.
Yeah.
David?
Again, I'm just pointing out the fact that when you have Supreme Court justices, the president, they do it every single time. They put their hand on a Bible.
I know, but David, that doesn't make it right.
Well, look, I think in terms of trying to use this moral empathy thing, I understand why people look at what went on there and try and project it. But I think it doesn't fit necessarily very well into an empathetic view of the world today.
It goes, Sandy, with the conversation that led us to having this conversation in the beginning.
Yeah.
About being empathetic to others. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show, 540 WNUK.
Sawyer County's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Tuesday on Nightlight, Rob Thomas from the Capital Times joins the show. Check us out in our new time slot from 7 to 9 p.m. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that. The Cripes Cast, folks.
Comedian Mary Mack.
He's noticed a very sizable increase on people off the lake coming onto our lake to fish it. You don't want everything to be popular or known about. That seems to be the way I also approach my comedy, Charlie. I think there's a theme.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
This
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.